Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds.
It's so good to be with you today. As we're in Luke chapter 11, talking about the Lord's Prayer, the model of prayer that he gives us here. Now it came to pass, as he was praying, in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And so he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name,' or 'be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So, as I mentioned, this is the model of prayer that Jesus is responding to his disciples who asked him, "Lord, would you please teach us how to pray?" More likely, they saw Jesus pray many times. As Jesus was, early in the morning he was praying. He was praying throughout the day. And so as they were seeing him pray in this particular time, they came and they said, "Oh, Lord, would you please teach us to pray as John the Baptist had taught his disciples to pray. Would you please help us?" And I believe that they probably knew that there must have been something in the life of Jesus, that prayer was the strength and the power that they were so looking for with their own life. The first thing that we really notice in this prayer is the person that they address. And I think it's so important that we address the Lord, "Our Father, which is art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy or sacred be thy name." The name of Jehovah, of course, we know from the Old Testament, is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. When we truly understand the Holy One, the one who we're praying to or making our requests are being made, I believe our faith rises. When you think, when you pray, "Oh Father, do you know who you're speaking to?" You're speaking to Jehovah God, the becoming one, the high tower, our strength, the creator of heaven and earth. Why, what a marvelous thing that we could turn to him in our prayer. Oh, of course, prayer is a petition. And the first petition we see here is concerning the kingdom of God. Jesus said if we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the other things would simply be added to us. As we see Jesus say, tells us here, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." I think it's important that we see the recognition that the earth is in rebellion against the will of God. Do you know that? That this earth is in war. It seems to be at war with God. Man is actively promoting and advocating the very things that God has forbidden. It just seems like we're on a downward spiral, moving so fast downhill. Jesus then speaks of the petition for our personal needs. As he says, "Give us this day, or day by day, our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, and lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil." What a beautiful thing that we see here as the important things that we need to do in prayer. Of course, Jesus speaks of the persistence of prayer that he does by this illustration. Notice in verse 5 of Luke chapter 11, "And he said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me, for the door is not shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise to give you. And I say to you, but though he will not rise and give him to him because of his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as needed." So the situation you have here is a guest that comes to you at midnight, and you find that you have no bread to set before him, and you go to your neighbor's house, and who is a friend, and you knock on the door. And from within the house, you hear a voice asking, "Hey, who's knocking at the door?" And you tell him your plight. You tell him what's going on, and he tells him, "Hey, just go home." And his family has all gone to bed, and I don't want to wake up the house. But you keep on knocking on the door really shamelessly until he comes to the door and gives you all the bread you need. He did not give to you because of your friendship, but because of your shameless persistence. The parable is not teaching that persistence is necessary to get your prayer answered. Oftentimes, the force of the parable is made in contrast, really. Jesus gave another parable concerning prayer. The story was of an unjust judge who did not fear God, neither did he regard any man. Every day a little widow lady was in the court seeking to be avenged for a wrong. He ignored her for a time, but after a while said, "Though I do not fear God or man, I'm going to judge in her favor, or else she's going to drive me crazy." Jesus said to note what the unjust said. He said, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? I say unto you that he will avenge them speedily." The idea is that the unjust judge can can be called on for action by the persistence of the little widow. How much more is your Heavenly Father moved to help his children who simply call unto him? Again, in this parable, the contrast is made. If a friend is not moved by your need, he will be moved by your persistence. But your Heavenly Father is moved by your need. And that's really the story. See, God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's awake. And as you wake up in the middle of the night or whenever and you call upon the name of the Lord, God doesn't slumber or sleep. The Bible tells us, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Really, as you see, the full application to this lesson of prayer, if a son shall ask bread from any of you, who is a father, will you, for your bread, give him a stone? Which one of you are going to do that? Let me read it to you in verse 9. "So I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. And it will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, and he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father or father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks of a fish for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks of an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" No, it's really, truly what he's saying. Will your son be asking a father for bread? Will he give him a stone? Of course, this is totally unthinkable. If he asks of a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he asks of an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Note now the contrast. If you then being evil, it tells us, and you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more would your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? Food, of course, is essential for physical life. The Holy Spirit is essential for our spiritual life. Jesus said to his disciples that they would receive power from the Holy Spirit that has come unto them and they would be witnesses of him, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. You witness more by how you live than by what you say. And it was Jesus that had truly said that you will be my faithful witness. Witness of what? Witness of the Father, of course. He could say, if you have seen me, you've seen my Father. Do you want to know what God's like? Look at me. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to be like Jesus. Your life will become a witness of what Jesus is. Isn't that amazing, folks? Here in this story, Jesus is saying, just ask, and you'll receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will enable you, your life, to so much reflect who God is. It would help you to change in really living situations. I'm talking about the Monday through Saturdays, not just Sunday when we go to the church, that our life, our attitude would reflect Him. The purpose of your Heavenly Father, Paul writes about it in Ephesians 4:13. He says, till we all come in the unity of faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measures of the statutes of the fullness of Christ. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from the glory to glory, even by the same Spirit of the Lord. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And our Heavenly Father wants to give us that power. All we need to do is ask for the fullness of the Spirit. I want to warn you of a danger. This scripture is being grossly misapplied today in some quarters where all kinds of strange phenomena are being manifest, such as holy laughter, animal noises, people that get pinned to the floor, and they all blame and say, this is the Holy Spirit that's causing this to happen. No. Not, note that they are really asking for the Holy Spirit, but they're seeking various, really what they're asking for is unscriptural manifestation of the Spirit. Paul tells us that when we become mature to the measure of statures of the fullness of Christ, that we'll be able to be no more children tossed to and fro, carried away by every wind of doctrine or false doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I think it's a blessing to know that you are spiritually mature enough to know not to be deceived by these false prophets, whose primary goal, I believe, is to line the pocketbooks with their dollars. The purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is to make you to be more like Jesus, to conform me into His image. For the life in me, I cannot conceive of Jesus barking like a dog or really cackling like a hen. And I can't picture himself staggering around like a drunk man on some stage or within a church with uncontrollable laughter. Let us go back to the real issue. You need the Holy Spirit to sustain your spiritual walk. Your Father knows your need. If you just but ask of Him, it tells us here in Luke, He will fill you with the Holy Spirit. And your life will be changed by the Spirit of God, and you'll be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ from glory to glory, from day by day, and His love will be flowing forth from your heart. What a beautiful time together here in Luke chapter 11. As he says, your Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask of Him. What do we ask right now? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this portion of scriptures. Lord, as we open with that model of prayer, where the disciples were just simply saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And then you gave us the illustrations for us to come to you, and how they were that picture of being persistent, but really, you're just saying that you never slumber, you never sleep, and all we need to do is to believe when we pray and ask, and you'll give it to us. But not only that, not only our physical needs, but also our spiritual needs. As we see our great spiritual need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how you said that your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit if we just simply ask, and that's what we're doing right now, that you might fill each and every one of us. Fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit this day, that we might be more like you, that our lives might reflect you, not only in the things that we do, but the things that we say and the things that we think. And so we want to thank you this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking part in today's program. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Again, that's terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Or you can write us at Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. May God richly bless you.